The Lord, in His grace and mercy, chose to save my wretched life. I'll forever be grateful for that. The second was 1992, when I surrendered my life fully to the Lord and heeded His call to the ministry. But 2020 was the year that drove me to my knees. And I began to pray and to beg God for personal ministry and church revival. And Pastor Andrew and Pastor Nate joined me in that prayer. And I'm not sure what 2021 will bring. I'm not sure that it's shaping up to be a much better year. But this one thing I know: God can always be trusted, and He's always in total control, and He will do abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So God wants to work in and through us. Now let's go back a couple of years, 2019. Our theme for the year was, "Are you a disciple?" And we based this on Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And we saw, remember that year, we saw the importance of one, right? We talked about being a disciple, being one. We talked about winning one. We talked about following one. We talked about teaching one. We talked about encouraging one. And we saw and began to see the importance of discipleship, making disciples, leading people to Christ and discipling them. Then last year, 2020, our theme was praying for a bold witness from Acts 4:31. And we sought to be bold witnesses for Christ. And we encouraged people to witness and to go out and be bold and to pass out tracts and to share the gospel with people. And during the disciple hour, one of the things we share is the gospel encounters, where we try to encourage each other with gospel encounters we've had during the week. Well, this year, our theme for 2021, we are seeking that it be a year of praying, proclaiming, and planting. Praying, proclaiming, and planting. I can't take responsibility for the three P's. It's kind of a joint effort between us. But praying, proclaiming, and planting. And that first point, praying, that is the point for our first point for our message today, praying. Let's think about that, praying. And I am convinced, and while you're thinking about that, turn to Luke 11. I'm not going to read it just yet, but Luke 11. I am convinced, friend, that the greatest and first thing we should do is pray. But it is often the last thing we do. And sometimes we don't do it at all. Do you know who you talk to when you pray and where you are? Do you realize that when we pray, we talk to our Father, who is the Creator and King of all the universe? And do you realize that when we pray, we enter into the very throne room of God in heaven? We can boldly come there, the Bible says. But do we often think that every time we pray? That's where we're entering. That's who we're talking to. Do you know how to pray? You know, prayer is so much more than just reading words off a list. I am not against prayer lists. Don't think that. But prayer is so much more than just reading words off a list. Do you pray? Does talking to God ever enter your mind throughout the day? What would happen if we talked with God as much as we texted or tweeted? Or whatever else people do today. How often do you pray? Do you pray more than just a short blessing on your food? And what are your prayers like? What are your prayers like? Do you praise God in your prayers? Do you start off your prayer by praising God for who He is and what He has done? Do you pray for others' spiritual needs or their physical needs? And I'm not against praying for people's physical needs, but are you more concerned for Aunt Bertha's lumbago or for her soul? Are your prayers selfish? Are your prayers centered on you and your needs? Do you gather to pray with your church family? And sadly, friends, the majority here of our church does not. We have multiple opportunities throughout the week to pray together. The ladies get together multiple times, men get together multiple times, and we have an opportunity to get together to pray as a church. When you stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, what will He say about your private and corporate prayer life? We need to be taught to pray. Luke 11:1. Look what it says with me. Luke 11:1. We need to be taught to pray. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. One day, as Jesus was praying, one of His disciples said unto Him, and it was possibly John or Andrew. They were disciples of John the Baptist before they were disciples of Jesus. One of these disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. It's interesting. Nowhere in the Bible do we read the disciples asking Jesus, Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us to heal. They never said, Lord, teach us to fish. No, it was, Lord, teach us to pray. What was it like to hear Jesus pray? Could you imagine that? Now, yes, we get a glimpse of it in the Scriptures. And this year, the start of the year, I've been drawn to the Gospel of Luke. And I'm starting my devotions in the beginning of the year by reading through Luke. Because in reading a book that was such a blessing to me last year, the Gospel of Luke mentions more times than any other gospel the fact that Jesus prayed. And I want to be taught to pray this year. And I want to pray like Jesus. What was it like to hear Him pray? What more could be said if you were at a prayer meeting with Jesus and it was your turn to pray after Him? How shallow their prayers must have seemed when they heard Jesus pray. Lord, teach us to pray. The way to teach people to pray is to pray yourself. Now remember, these themes for the year, these visions for the year, aren't just one-shot deals. You know, we are wanting to build on making disciples, being a bold witness, and now praying and proclaiming. So if we have people that we have led to the Lord, and many of you have led people to the Lord these past 2 years, for which we're thankful, as you disciple them, pray with them. That's how people learn to pray. Listening to Jesus, the disciples learn to pray. The way to teach people to pray is to pray yourself. It was the habitual prayerfulness of Jesus that made the apostles long to be taught by him to pray. What example is here of the power of unconscious influence? Simply by our praying, we influence people. If you desire that your children or those you are discipling should pray, pray yourself. And pray in front of them. And let them hear you pray. Fathers, do you pray with your children? Husbands, do you pray with your wives? Moms, do you pray with your children? They're not going to pray if they don't see you praying. And kids can see through our disguises. To pray like Jesus is something more than merely asking for favors. It's to worship and adore the Father. It's to rise from the spirit of this world. And above all our bodily cares and all of our wants, to join in spirit that glorious company of angels who ever live in the light of God's presence around his throne, who say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." And when we pray, we enter that same throne room that Isaiah 6 talks about, where the angels there cry, "Holy, holy, holy." And if we would be taught to pray, the first thing we need to know is who we're praying to and where we are. You may be sitting in your kitchen, in your living room, in your prayer closet, but as you pray, you ascend to the very throne room of God. What a privilege that is. This year, Lord, teach us to pray. There is much we desire to do for the Lord this year. Therefore, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, one of the things that Pastor Andrew, Nate, and I want to do is we want to see more people praying. And we're making it easier for us to pray corporately this year. We're moving prayer meeting from Wednesday, starting today. We're moving prayer meeting from Wednesday night to Sunday at 11:30. And we are asking the Lord to teach us to pray. So after the coffee fellowship, since you're already here, we're asking you to stay and pray. But you say, "I don't know how to pray." Or you say, "I'm embarrassed to pray in public." Then stay and be taught how to pray by listening to the prayers of the Bible and the prayers of other saints. Praying. The first thing we have to do, friends, if we want God to work in our lives, the first thing we have to do is pray. And continue to pray. Praying. The second thing we're seeking to do this year is to proclaim. Proclaiming. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 15 through 17. Not really expositing these texts today. But friends, I am convinced that we are living in the last days. I don't know when the Lord is coming, but I know He is coming. And I know that the disciples and the apostles felt that they were living in the last days, and that was 2,000 years ago. So if they felt they were living in the last days, how much closer are we to the Lord's coming? Maybe the Lord will come in 2021. Wouldn't that be great? I'm convinced we're living in the last days. Therefore, we should get the gospel out and proclaim it to all we meet. 99% of the people you meet when you walk out that door, 99% of the people do not know the Lord. So start proclaiming. Who do I talk to? Anybody. Grab somebody. Hey, you know the Lord if you're that bold. If you're not that bold, talk to people you know. And tell them about the Lord. Look at Romans 1, please, verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Look at verse 15. Paul was ready to preach the gospel. Are you ready to preach the gospel? Preach simply means to proclaim, to tell. Are you ready to proclaim? Are you ready to preach the gospel? Or are you ashamed of the gospel? Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. But sadly, many of us are. We're afraid to open our mouth. Have you personally experienced the life-changing power of the gospel? Look at the middle part of verse 16. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Resident within the gospel is the power of God to change a life from a sinner to a saint, from a child of the devil to a child of God. And that power is in the gospel. And we see it all the time when people get saved. If you are saved today, you should not be what and who you once were. He's still working on all of us. None of us are perfect. But there's power in the gospel. And there are people out there whose lives can be changed by the gospel if we proclaim it. Do you believe the life-changing power of the gospel can change anyone? Look at the latter part of verse 16. It says, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. These two people could not have been farther apart from each other. The Jew and the Gentile, the Jew and the Greek. And the same gospel changes those people. And it doesn't matter who you meet. God can change their life. Well, you don't know my friend, my husband, my whomever. God already saved the chiefest of sinners when He saved Paul. So He can save anyone. He could save me. He saved you. He could save people. The power is not us. The power is the gospel. And don't forget that. That's why we need to get the gospel out. Do you know the righteousness of God? Look at verse 17. For therein, wherein? The gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Do you know the righteousness of God? God requires perfect righteousness of people. But the problem is we're not righteous. But the good news is God provides the righteousness that he requires through the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. For therein, within the gospel, within the life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the power of God to save someone and make them righteous, to have a right standing with God, because God only accepts righteous people. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you are clothed in his righteousness. And God accepts that. Has this righteousness, Christ's righteousness, been revealed to you by, number one, knowledge and experience? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Do you know this by experience? Are you saved? And do you know this by knowledge? Are you growing in that faith? Are you growing in the gospel? Are you growing in your righteousness? Are you getting closer to God? It's a journey. It's part of our discipleship. We're all disciples. We're all on this journey together. And we're all climbing this mountain. And sometimes in that mountain we fall, we slide back, we backslide, we hit a valley, and we climb. And sometimes the going is, a few times the going is easy and sweet. And other times the going is difficult. But it's a journey. And do you live by faith? For as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Friends, before we can proclaim the gospel, we need to know the gospel. Number one, by experience, being saved. Are you saved? And before we can proclaim the gospel, we need to know the gospel by knowledge. What is it? And how to present the gospel? A good witness is one who lives what they preach. Does your walk match your talk? And does your talk match your walk? So friends, just as we are moving prayer meeting to the 11:30 time on Sunday morning after coffee fellowship, in an effort for more people to pray, one of the things we're going to do this year to help us in our proclamation is during this service right now, the 10 a.m. service, the main worship service, starting next week, I am going to begin preaching through the book of Romans so that we can proclaim the gospel. And we must understand the gospel. The book of Romans is placed where it is on purpose. After the gospels and the book of Acts, the first book we come to is Romans, which is Paul's greatest accomplishment in telling us what the gospel is and understanding it. I hope that it will help us to better know, live, and therefore proclaim the gospel to those we meet. Folks, we better know how to answer the most important questions people will ask. And that is, how did I get here? Why am I here? And where am I going when I leave here? In some shape or form, those are the three most important questions anyone will ask. And Romans has the answer for all three of them. And you don't have to get too far into the book to find that. So people are going to ask us questions. And the tougher it gets out there, the more questions they will ask. Praying, proclaiming, planting. The Lord's program for planet Earth today is the church. The church is his bride and body, and it is how he is working today through his church. He is working today through his church. Theologically, we are living in what is called the church age, or the time in which the Lord is building his church. The church age started in Pentecost when Peter preached that great message after the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And from that day until the rapture of the church, whenever that may be, is the church age. And he's building his church. Therefore, since this is the church age, it is God's will for us to be, number one, saved and members of a local church. It is God's will, I am convinced, because he is building his church. It is God's will for his saved children to be members of a local church. Servants and ministering through that local church, because God is working today through his church. Therefore, we need to be praying, proclaiming, and planting. Look at Acts 16, please. Acts 16. This is from Paul's second missionary journey, verse 9 and 10. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Pastor Nate and Pastor Andrew and I did not see a vision, but we are very sure that it is God's will for us to plant a church. Because this is the church age, and Jesus is building his church. And a few months ago, we had a wonderful business meeting, and prior to that, we even, you know, informed you of what we were thinking, and we unanimously voted to plant a church in Laconia. That's exciting. In 2020, when churches are closing and not meeting, and we're in New Hampshire where churches are supposed to be dead and dying, God called us all to plant a church. That's exciting, friends. That's God's will. And I believe God. You believe God? I believe that verse we started out with today from Ephesians, that God is able to do above anything I could ask or think. God can do more than that. You know, there's many people in the Lakes region who need our help. Come over and help us. We won't develop this now, but we will when we get here in our study of the book of Acts. But that Macedonian call, you and I are saved because of that call. Because the gospel began to go to Europe. And most of us here are European. There are many people in the Lakes region who need our help. Of course, their greatest need is a spiritual need. There's no doubt in my mind that we should preach the gospel there in the Lakes region. There is no place off limits to the gospel. As speaking geographically. I know some countries are called limited access and some countries are called closed. No place is off limits to the gospel. So in an effort to aid in our biblical understanding and approach to church planting, we will be continuing in our study of the book of Acts, but on Wednesday nights from the 6:30 to 7:30 time. The second half of the book of Acts, which is where we are now, is mainly about Paul's missionary journeys. And what did he do in those missionary journeys? He planted churches. So what will be our textbook for planting the church in Laconia? We didn't go to the bookstore and buy the latest book. We got it right here. So friends, this year, praying, proclaiming, planting. Friends, it's time to turn off the news and open your Bibles. Mother-in-law is not here today. She's not feeling well. Don't worry, it's not COVID-related. But everything on the news is scare tactics. We don't watch the news much anymore, but she does. And I was listening last night to the news. And now there's this new strain that everybody's worried about, that three people in the United States have. And it's on the news. Now, I'm not making light of COVID. I'm not. But turn off the news and open up your Bible. Pastor Nate and Andrew tell me all the time, Pastor, you listened to the news coming into work today, didn't you? Changes your attitude, and not for the better. Turn it off. It's time to get out of your easy chair, and it's time for us to get on our knees and pray like never before. You want to pray more? What time you watched the news? Turn it off and pray instead. That'll radically change your life and our world. It's time to make the worship of our God and Savior the number one weekend priority. There's nothing more important that we can do on a Sunday than do what you're doing right now. Nothing. Your kid is not going to become a baseball player, a football player, or the next Serena Williams. It ain't going to happen. But your kid has 100% chance of standing before God. Not against sports, but I'm against anything that takes people away from this house on Sunday. It's time to start attending our prayer meeting and making that the hour of power. More prayer, more power. It's time to get serious with fighting sin and start living holy, separated lives. It's time to stop texting and start proclaiming the gospel to the lost. It's time to stop living for ourselves and live for the Lord and others. It's time to stop sitting and soaking and start exercising what we've learned. We have wonderful opportunities here to learn, and that's great. But friends, we have also wonderful opportunities to go out and exercise our faith, to tell people about the Lord. People out there are in such need of the Lord. It's so obvious what has happened all around us this year. It's time to start praying, proclaiming, and planting. We've made a unanimous decision as a church to plant the church. But Pastor Nate, Pastor Andrew, and I cannot do it by ourselves. And I don't believe we are going to do it by ourselves. I believe many of you are going to help. Every single one of us can pray. Every single one of us can proclaim. Every single one of us can be involved in some way in this church plant. Let's, if the Lord should tarry, and we get to have another service like we just had last Thursday, at the end of 2021, let's pray that at that service, we can praise God for a new soul saved and a new church started. How many of you believe God can? I do. So, but one thing God does, He does not need us, but He desires to use us. Do you want to be used in that praying and proclaiming and planting? I hope you do. And if you do, commit that to God. Forget about the resolution. Forget about the diet. Okay? By the 10th, like me, you'll be eating all the wrong stuff again. Okay? The gym membership card will get dusty, you know. But this is more important. I'm not making light of that. I'm not. Oh, yes, I am. But, you know. But this is so much more important. And I believe with all my heart that God can. Do you believe? If you believe, stand with me. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, today could be the greatest day of your life. Trust Him as your Savior. If you're here today and you don't know Him, while we're singing the last hymn, just quietly come and sit in the front pew.